Blog Talk Radio.
Do the rich people cringe and say, don't tell them that, Robert?
Yes, yes, yes. Don't tell people what you know.
Right.
Keep them poor. The moment I pay you, you think like an employee. The moment you accept the paycheck, your brain goes dead. That's the trap. Entrepreneurs work for free. As long as you're hungry, you'll think. The school system is designed to teach you to be an employee or a doctor or a lawyer, a specialist, but never about money. The poor will always be amongst us because it starts up here. It's in their words, you know, and the words become flesh. But when they say, I can't afford it or I can't do that, they go down. They become what they say. And I meet so many people, I can't afford it. You think I'm made of money? My PhD daddy says, what do you think I am, made of money? I can't afford that. And my rich dad would say, that's why he's poor. Poor people say, I can't afford it, I can't do that, I don't have time. Because this is an escape. It's an escape, you know what I mean? It's easy to say, I can't afford it. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, I can't go to the gym. You know, when you could go to the gym, no, I can't. Truth is, I'm just too lazy to go to the gym.
And your rich dad used to say what instead of, I can't afford it?
How can I afford it? How can I do that? A question opens a mind, a statement closes the mind. So when you say, I can't afford it, your mind shuts down and you become what you say. People right now who are sitting at home, who are struggling financially or worried about money or unhappy, they may be making a lot of money, but unhappy with what they're doing. It was probably taught to you. You know, your superego was taught, get a job, work hard, or you'll never be rich, or the rich are evil, or whatever. Poverty is passed on. It's taught in your families. And middle class is taught in families.
And until you change your mindset,
correct,
money won't help you, right?
Correct.
And we see that with people that win the lottery, people that make more money, they still have the same problem.
Right.
Because they have that poor man's soul.
Correct. If you're poor, you'll always be poor.
That's really hard for people to understand.
Yeah, the money will disappear that fast. Just like most pro athletes, you know, they make millions of dollars and what, 65% are bankrupt 5 years later? It's because they come from poor families. But unfortunately, what Mr. Lipton was saying, it's passed down genetically. That's the frightening thing. If you don't want to learn it, I can't help you. You know, I have bad luck too. I've had financial crashes. I've had people stab me in the back. But they're all good because I grow from it. That's spirituality. You know, people who are afraid of making mistakes like they teach in school, they don't ever grow. Because spirituality is there's good and there's bad. There's right and there's wrong. There's up and there's down. Most people only want to be right. They only want to be positive. Well, you can't have that. That's not reality. And the average person, the reason they're poor is they haven't failed. You know, they play it so safe. They haven't made any mistakes like they taught in school. That means they don't learn anything. That's why the school system's actually fundamentally corrupt. It's anti-education. But the average guy is standing there, oh, I'm an A student. I'm going to do this all on myself. And a bunch of rugby players run you over. And you go, well, they're not playing fair. Yeah, what? You're playing stupid. You should have a team. You should have accountants, attorneys, and bankers and all that stuff. But that's not the game I want to play. I said, then don't play the game. You know, the game of business is played with accountants, attorneys, bankers, hate to say it, politicians. You know, you got to know the game. You know, people say, well, money is not that important to me. Then if money is not that important to you, money is not important to you. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't care about money. The money doesn't care about you. You know, the word does become flesh. Or I'll never be rich. Or the favorite one is the rich are greedy. It's the poor that are greedy. You know, if you think about it, because to be rich, you have to give something. You know, you have to. I have to produce books and games, and I purchase real estate, I provide housing, provide jobs and all that. That's why I'm rich. But greedy people produce nothing. You know, Einstein said, you know, imagination is more important than knowledge, but knowledge empowers imagination. And what most people lack is real business knowledge, like accounting, you know, like debt, like taxes. You got to know that stuff, but they don't teach it in school to anybody. You see, most teachers in school, they're out of ethics. They teach subjects they themselves don't practice. Because I understood what a fake teacher is. A fake teacher is somebody who just wants a job and they'll teach anything. You know, they teach how to shine shoes if you pay them more money. But they really don't know what they're teaching. In life, one of the things I suggest to people, you gotta find a real teacher versus a fake teacher. And a fake teacher is somebody who doesn't do what they teach. And a real teacher is doing what they teach every day. Our school systems are making our students weaker. So in school, they have these things called now trigger effects. So you can't, as a teacher, you can't say anything that might upset the student. They don't want anything that might jar their point of view. You see, people say, well, why don't you give the poor money? So the only problem with that is it just creates more poor people.
Give a man a fish, he fishes for the day, or eats for the day.
Yeah, you give a man a fish, you get a lot of people who want more fish, you know. But you teach them to fish. We become creatures of our own habits. And until we break the habit, we don't change. Our schools don't teach that. Our schools teach almost the exact opposite of that. And the average person, the reason they're poor is they haven't failed. You know, they play it so safe. They haven't made any mistakes like they taught in school. That means they don't learn anything. That's why the school system's actually fundamentally corrupt. It's anti-education. So what I say to young people is you find your game. So my game financially is business, number one. Second is real estate. And that's why I pay no taxes. That's why Trump pays no taxes. Legally, it is a combination of business and real estate that gives us an unfair advantage over employees because they don't know what to do. A lot of people would rather sit in the stands than be in the game. One of the greatest ways to acquire great wealth is playing Monopoly in real life. Four greenhouses, one red hotel. But is that all there is? That's it.
Robert, if I could give you some kind of a magic phone and you could make a call to the 20-year-old Robert Kiyosaki and give that young man a bit of advice, what would you tell him?
I would just say keep going. Just do what you have to do. Just, you know, live it to the fullest, which I did. Nothing I ever did made sense. Now, could you imagine quitting a $120,000 a year job for $200 a month to go fight in Vietnam and almost die? It didn't make sense, but it was the best decision I made at that time. And I think what most people do is they let their parents or their friends talk them out of life. So afraid of failing. But failing is how we succeed. You look at that, you look at guys like Edison and all that. They failed like 1,014 times before he invented the light bulb. You know, our schools punish you for making mistakes. That's why we have so many people who are so afraid of admitting they make mistakes or afraid of failing.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the founding minister of Christ United Church. He is Right Reverend Fathering God, Dr. Frederick Eichrencoder, better known to millions as Reverend Ike.
Wow. Thank you, Church. Thank you, brother. Okay. All right, you may be seated. The next thing I want to see from you is your study guide. Open your study guide to the inside of the front cover. All right, you have your study guide. All right, very quickly, let's look at the first two pages, really, in the study guide. page 0 and page 1. And this page is titled The Answer That You Need. And it's a series of prayers which are treatments for the different problems that we meet in life. I'm not going to read all of this to you, but just say a few words in remark. And I've given these prayers to people over the years, in different ways, and in my letters and all of that. And they have been effective. And I want to quote Reverend Ike on something that he said here in one of the lessons. And this blows my mind. It's really two statements. Every prayer contains its answer. And I'm going to go you one better. The answer precedes every prayer. You cannot pray a prayer which answer did not come first. Well, then why do you pray? To help you open mine eyes that I may see. Now, this should help you in your prayer work. Simply to realize that when you pray, the answer has already preceded. You remember when Jesus went to the tomb to raise Lazarus from the dead. He said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I know that you hear me always. But now stop and think about that for a moment. When you pray, you are never praying for anything that you don't have already. Say it that way. Somebody find that long poem by Retzema in the study guide. Is it 188? I at last have reached my goal and solved the mystery of my soul. I am that to which I prayed, that to which I looked for aid. I am that which I did seek. I am my own mountain peak. I upon creation look as a leaf in my own book. For I, the one, the many make of substance, which from me I take. For all is me, there are no two creation, is myself all through. When the Almighty God ensouled himself, herself, itself in you, God made you a complete person, left nothing out. Very soon, your whole prayer style should change. So that you're really never asking anything. And as Reverend Ike has said to us many times, you should get to that point where you only have one complaint. It has only one God, and you should only have one complaint. Oh, my cup! Run it over. And you'll have to share it with others. But stop and think about that.
I was in a men's clothing store.
I'm a shopaholic, you know. I love to shop. And I love bargains. And I didn't have any lack of anything. The man showed me these clothing that I liked so much. I'd never seen that particular brand before. And I liked it so much. And I kept saying to him, look, I don't have anywhere to put these things. You've got them hanging everywhere. Even in the great room. All around the walls. The closets are full. And the man kept making a better deal every time. And I started to complain once again. I don't need. And finally, you see, there came a conversation between my intellect and what the Pentecostals would call the Holy Ghost. Finally, the Holy Ghost said to the intellect, shut up. Didn't I tell you I was going to run your cup over? Stop resisting. Say to as many people as you can there, didn't God tell you I'm going to run your cup over? There I was. You see, I had a great intellectual argument. You see, that.
Look to me. Empire Building Show with your host, Akeem F. on Hindsight Radio.
Hey, peace, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the More Empire Building Show on Hindsight Radio, the information station changing the nation. Hope everybody's doing well. You know, everybody's health is good, wealth is good, prosperity, peace in your life. Everything on my side is doing well. I'm doing wonderful, great, terrific. Before I get into what I want to talk about, let's talk about the upcoming seminar. That's going to be in Champaign, Illinois. Let me pull the flyer out. It would have been nice if I had that ready to roll. All right, let me do that. Here we go. It's called the Peace and Overstanding Seminar, featuring myself as the host, Akeem L. And we're going to talk about getting rid of the third-party debt collectors, learning how to protect you, your family, property, through properly setting up trust, overstanding your rights protected by the Constitution, rules to the court, court procedures, legal versus lawful, public versus private, what your status is and its importance, the importance of your birth certificate, and more. I was doing some research today, listening to some videos, reading a few things, and I definitely got some really good information to bring to this seminar. You know, I got some ideas on the birth certificate, that things we need to do. But I won't talk about them now. The first time you're going to hear me say them is going to be at this seminar, December the 13th and the 14th, Friday and Saturday. So you got 2 days, full days of knowledge, getting information. So I'm definitely going to be bringing some new information to the table. I was contemplating, meditating exactly what I was going to talk about. We're going to go over the injunction. Actually, I'm going to go over probably the Illinois injunction. So come ready, because I want everybody to leave that seminar with the right protection for themselves and their family. But we're definitely going to talk about status. You know, I remember I said something about not talking about nationality so much, but I have no choice. Got to talk about it, because we're winding down, wrapping up to the end of these things. And I notice how these governments are moving. It's time for everybody to be serious about the status. But whoever shows up there at the seminar will get the information that they need. So if you don't be there, you're going to miss out. The price for this seminar is $50 for one person, $80 for two people. So you want to bring your significant other, wife, whoever, friend, it's $80 for two people. $50 for one. Somebody sent me a question. Well, what about if it's 3, 4, 5? I don't know. That's the price I get that they have set. So call this number, 312-736-2171. And the email is kjsj3030@gmail.com. Call them and they will give you more details. You know, where it's going to be at, the hotel. So call them and get that set up. I'm going to try to get them to send me something so I can at least put the address of the hotel on my website so people can know where to go. Because I know somebody's going to email me and say, oh, where is it located? Where is it located? With the number sitting right there on the flyer, they're going to call me, which is understandable. That's the first thing that's going to come to their mind. So I would like to at least have that address for you guys to be able to find it. All right. So, yeah, we're going to talk. I'm going to go into that birth certificate, because I listened to something today that really, you know how you listen to something and it helps you connect more dots. And it gave me another perception, which was, I thought was great when I heard it. I said, wow, you know what? That's right. That is right. You know? So we're going to talk about that at the seminar, first time. But I got to build a template for it. You know, I'm going to have a template for it when I get there to show you. Of course, only the people that show up at the seminar is going to get to see it. After that, it'll go up on my website and you can purchase it, you know, for a fee. And that's it. Today, I'm going to talk about unsworn testimony given by these attorneys. I'm going to read a case to help you understand that there's only one argument in the court: jurisdiction. That's the argument, jurisdiction. And another one, a sub-argument, is why are you guys letting these attorneys testify? I know we talked about Trinity versus Pagliaro. We use that a lot. But see, I actually have a state case that is much, way, way, way much better than Trinity versus Pagliaro ever was. Now, when I go into it, I'm going to tell you guys what you need to do if you're not in the state that I'm reading this case from, what you got to go get. You got to go looking for these cases. All right? But first, of course, we got to start off on the positive side. You know, I got Reverend Ike here, his book, Health, Joy, and Prosperity for You. I want to teach you guys how to get your affairs in order, become prosperous, think prosperous all the time, by Dr. Frederick Ikren Fielder. And the chapter is chapter 16, You Are Your Self-Awareness. I think that's a big issue for people. They don't understand you are your self-awareness. It's your responsibility to be self-aware of your thoughts and those thoughts that leads to actions and those actions that leads to physical manifestation of everything that you're thinking and believing. If you believe I just have enough, that's all you're going to ever have. If that's your words saying. If you believe I don't have enough, that's all you will ever have. Not enough. If you believe you have an abundance, that's all you will ever have is an abundance. No, of course, at times it might look like money is dipping and up. You know, that's what currency is all about. It's a flow. It's up and down, up and down. And sometimes you get tidal waves of money. You know? But that's just the way it is. That's the beauty of it. But you should never think lack. You should never think I'm falling short. Always think in abundance. Always think in the terms of my cup runneth over all the time. So let's get into this chapter because this is going to be a short night. I might not even take questions, but if you got a question, I might take one or two, put your hand up. And I'll get your questions. Also, I'm starting something new. I'm going to send out an email blast on it, and basically how it's going to work is this, because I always get these emails in my, these questions in my email. So what I'm going to do is send an email out and give y'all an email address to put your questions in the email. I'm not going to answer them by email. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on the show and answer your question through the emails that you send me. So there's going to be an email specifically for questions, and then I'm going to scroll down during my shows and read them. Now, I might not be able to get to all of those questions at once, but it seems like people, instead of getting on the show and ask questions, they want to email me all different times of days, you know, when I'm not ready to take questions. So I said, well, I can't stop that flow, so how can I work with the flow? So you guys can send me your questions by email. I'll give you the email to send it to, and I'll go through those emails and answer them. All right? I will tell you this. Some of you might be asking me about discharge and things like that. I might answer those questions, but I'm going to tell you, I don't endorse your discharge, especially the discharge that was taught on this station since we started this station. I don't endorse that anymore. And here's why. You heard a guy the other night came on here talking about he just got up doing a 9-month bid doing that process. Now, of course, he was kind enough to say that it wasn't whoever taught that video's fault. You know, he's being gracious. But I'm real. If I'm being taught a process, and if I'm teaching a process and getting people in trouble or getting locked up, and I didn't give them all the details, because what that young man said, he said, you know, he didn't have some things in order. That video don't tell you what things you need to have in order to do discharge. It's saying, actually, in that video, it says you don't need some things to do this, actually. So that video is getting a lot of people locked up, and guess what? Those people are starting to get out of jail now. So you're going to start hearing that buzz around the community about that discharge process. And people are still endorsing that. I warned you, Hindsight Radio didn't endorse or support that. People getting in trouble and getting locked up during a process. All right? Y'all can fool with a guy just got recently, less than a month ago, messing with that same process. Got in trouble. Now he's got to fight felony fraud charges. And he was warned. So if you send me discharge, I might say a little bit on it, but mostly I don't endorse discharge because guess what? I have not seen it. It just doesn't work. It works in the sense that it gets you in trouble. Now, there's people said I discharged. Even the person who taught it said he discharged. And I'm telling you, he did. He lied to y'all. He didn't discharge anything. He paying a mortgage just like everybody else, paying car notes just like everybody else. I'm telling y'all. That's a fact. Okay? Stop falling for these okie doke. And if they did it, ask them to show you proof of what they did. Okay? Show you the proof. All right, let's get into this chapter with Ikrin Coda. That's how you pronounce it. It's you are your self-awareness. Be it done for you as you desire. Matthew 15:28. Let the weak say, I am strong. Joel 3:10. A science of living principle. Faith is not something which is blind. Faith is not some abstract belief. Faith is what you believe about yourself. Whatever you believe about yourself, so be it unto you. That's very important. A lot of us have beliefs outside of ourselves. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We believe in this. We believe in that. But the one thing you don't believe in is yourself. And that is more important than believing in anything else, is believing in yourself. If you don't have a true, authentic belief and faith in yourself and your abilities, no faith in God or anything is going to work. All right? I teach what I call mind power. Some people have not been taught how to work their minds. Part of the expression, but they were taught to work their behinds. I teach people that the more you learn to work your mind, the less you have to work your behind. And this is really what the science of living is all about. Man, that's a true chapter. Because once you learn that mind power, you ain't got physical exertion becomes a minimum. It becomes a choice. Okay? Positive self-image psychology. Positive self-image psychology is seeing oneself in one's own mind, being, doing, and having the good one desires. if I could describe my teaching, my philosophy, in one term, most succinctly, it would be positive self-image psychology. And positive self-image psychology is what we all need. It's not a matter of one race needing it and another race needing something else. We all need positive self-image psychology. And an old Greek philosopher said, man, know thyself. And that's just another way to say the same thing. In this philosophy, which I also call the science of positive self-awareness, I teach the individual to define his ideals and to protect his ideals into reality by means of visualization, affirmation, and meditation. This is using mind power. This is the stuff I use. Positive self-image psychology is what we all need. Define yourself. Define what you want to be, what you want to do, and what you want to have. When I first started counseling people, it surprised me to find that there were so many people of all ages, who didn't know what they wanted out of life. When I asked them, well, what do you want to be? They would say, I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to have? I don't know. The individual must come to a point of self-definition and positive self-awareness. Here again, while speaking to students at the University of Alabama, they said to me, Rev. Ike, I want you to tell me how to get a Cadillac. I want you to tell me how to get $1 million. In the science of living, we teach that if you want to be something, first see yourself in your mind being it. Define yourself as the one who is doing that which you want to do. Define yourself as the one who is having that which you want to have. And then visualize. See yourself in the theater of your own mind being, doing, and having the good which you desire. Also, you must use the technique of affirmation. You must affirm that you are that which you desire. Add good things to I am. I interpret the Bible psychologically rather than theologically. One of the prophets in the Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong. Now let's talk about these mystical words, I am. Whatever you add to I am, that is what you become. That is why I am against anybody teaching the so-called poor people to say, I am poor. You know it has become somewhat popular. It has become somewhat of a stylish cliche. If you please to say poor people, if you don't want to be poor people, stop defining yourself as poor people. Define yourself as prosperous. When you say, I am poor, that is your self-definition. That is your self-awareness, and you are never going to be able to experience anything better than or anything other than your self-definition. Watch out for labels. Whatever you want to be, define yourself as that. If you're poor and you want to stay poor, keep saying, I am poor, and don't grumble because you are poor. You have to reject all the nice, neat sociological labels which are passed down by the experts, including the experts from Washington. You know they have some nice, neat labels in Washington to stamp on to people's foreheads. The label poor people is a famous one. That is the most negative self-image psychology that there is. Then there's another nice, neat label, culturally deprived. Culturally deprived, but anybody who has been exposed to my ministry can no longer claim he is culturally deprived. Whatever you add to I am, that is what you become. It is a great disfavor to people to teach them this kind of negative self-image psychology, because whatever you define yourself as, that is what you become. And the only way that you are going to become something else or become what you want to be is to redefine yourself as that which you want to become. I'm glad he brought up that culturally deprived. You know, we got the civil rights movement. We have all of these movements, and it always says something like, the culturally deprived, or what's the other terms they use? The economically disadvantaged, or socially disenfranchised. Now, that may be true from a political level where political entities are trying to socially deprive people, but it's up to you to accept that definition of yourself. Don't get caught up in that. Well, I'm socially deprived. Guess what? You're going to be socially deprived. Though I don't identify it. See, a lot of people don't understand. One time it was, I think it was Morgan Freeman, when he talked about poverty and identifying with black. He said, I don't identify with that. Because if you identify with it, you give it life. Will Smith said the same thing. I noticed that a lot of people, once they reach a certain level of wealth and affluency, they stop associating with certain terminologies that most other people identify with, but they get accused of being stuck up, or they get accused of being out of touch with their people. No, they are in touch with themselves, who they really are. They stop identifying with poverty, socially disadvantaged titles. So who is really out of touch? The people that are identifying with that. They're out of touch with themselves and who they truly are. All right? You think we're supposed to be born into having struggles like with money and living from paycheck to paycheck, getting up every day, going to a job that you don't like? You're taught that. You're programmed to be that. God didn't give that to you. Unfortunately, the people that love you the most or say they love you the most gave it to you, your parents and their parents, because they didn't know any better. Okay? One of the things that I never forget is the case of a 13-year-old boy who was brought here from Jamaica, British West Indies. All of his life, he had suffered with asthma. He couldn't go to school very regularly because of his asthmatic condition. The very first Sunday that he came to United Church in New York City, he sat in the congregation, and before the service, I walked down the aisle, and as I usually do to meet and greet the people, this youngster leaned over from his seat and said to me in the wheezing tone of an asthmatic, "Reverend, please pray for me. I have asthma." I stopped for a moment, looked at him, and then I said to him, "Son, I see in you a boy who has no asthma." Then I proceeded down the aisle to speak to other people. I didn't talk to this young man again for about 6 months, but every Sunday after that, I would see him sitting in the congregation smiling. Finally, when I got a chance to talk to him, he told me a wonderful story. He said to me, "Rabbi, that Sunday when you walked down the aisle and I asked you to pray for me because I had asthma, and when you said to me, 'Son, I see you a boy who has no asthma,' something lifted from my chest, and I have never suffered with asthma since." Change your circumstances, your conditions, by changing your self-image, by changing your self-definition. Picture what you want. What was it that I did that healed him? I redefined that young man's self-image for him. You have to give yourself a positive self-image that will lift you, that will heal you, that will prosper you. When I said to that young man, "Son, I see you, a boy who has no asthma," he immediately got in his mind a picture of himself as being healthy, as having no asthma, and he experienced that which he saw. You have to learn to use positive self-awareness to heal yourself, to bless yourself, to prosper yourself. You have to learn to develop a positive self-awareness to become a winner in the game of life. Folks, to remember, self-image is the key to everything. Reverend Ike, take the place and attitude which belong to you, and all men acquiesce. Ralph Waldo Emerson. The more you learn to work your mind, the less you have to work your behind. Reverend Ike. Chance favors only the mind that is prepared. It is. Affirmative treatment. These are the things that you can say. Repeat after me. Right here and right now, I am constructing a positive self-image. I see myself in the theater of my mind being, doing, and having all the good that I desire. I am healthy. I am happy. I am loving. I am successful. I am prosperous. I am rich. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, in me. There you go. I hope y'all got this book and read it over and over. Because at the end of every chapter, it has these affirmative treatments. If you read those and you practice those every day, I guarantee your life is going to change. Things are going to get better. And some people are already testifying to the fact that it's happening. See, y'all want remedy in the courts. Y'all want remedy with discharge. Y'all want remedy in your foreclosures. Right? Y'all want all of this remedy. But y'all forgetting the one and only true remedy is your positive self-image about yourself. Because if you have that, all that other stuff falls into place. That's why for them, everything works out for me. Because I have a positive self-image of myself. Nothing goes wrong for me. I don't view my life, even in challenging situations, as that went wrong. I say that went right because even in things that seem to not look right helps me. See, if you're speaking everything goes wrong right with me all the time, guess what? Everything will go right with you all the time. That's guaranteed. That is the truth. You know, but so, no, I can't. No, everything don't go right right now. I'm having a hard trouble with my wife, my kids, and money ain't right. Yeah, everything's going right with you. Guess what? It is going right with you because you spoke it and you got what you spoke. So it is going right. It's going exactly how you spoke it. All right? Understand that concept that your mind, your words, is the creative force in your life. Everything you're thinking is creating all the time. You're a constant creator. And when you see it in the physical, you created it. And look at it and say, oh, here's my creation. It's a few minutes before 8, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a call because I don't want to get into the teachings of today about, you know, sworn testimony, lawyers giving sworn testimony. Because it's a good read, and I want to flow through it. You know, without being interrupted. So my daughter Nicole is going to call me at 8. So let me take a call. Let me take a call from 313-737. Hello? 313-737. Maybe he forgot he pressed that 1. I am. All right, I'll go back to him a little later. 314-282. Going on with the phone lines. People who got their hand up, but they ain't answering. Let me refresh this page, make sure I got this right. 314-282. Turn the mute off. Well, I'm going to keep it moving then. Let me try 313-737 again. You there?
Peace, God. Pure energy. Bro.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? I picked up on you a minute ago. It must have been.
Yeah. What's going on, Akeem? You all right?
Everything great. I'm wonderful, man. Life is great. Oh, just been real busy, studying, moving around. I feel like I've been in every state in this country, all 50.
No doubt.
That's where it feels. I haven't been in all 50, but it's feeling like that.
Right.
You know, every time I turn around, I'm going somewhere.
I used to be a door-to-door salesman, so I know how you feel.
Oh, yeah. I did the same thing for cable, selling door-to-door.
Yeah,
that's
every country.
Too.
Country. I mean, state. You know what I'm saying by country. Every state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are country. State is country.
And I know. I know. That's so crazy.
Country.
It still be tripping me out.
Yeah,
it
so
still be
on?
Tripping me out trying to wrap my head around that shit.
Yeah. So,
and a lot of people, man, gotta realize when they coming into this information, you're gonna have them epiphany moments. And what I mean by that is you're gonna be like, oh man, really? Oh wow. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So prepare yourself, people, because the truth sometimes is weirder than fiction. I'm going to tell you.
Yes, it
man,
is.
It's incredible.
You're right.
Man, it's incredible.
You're absolutely right.
You know, I just want to send a shout out to you, my brother, on some real shit.
Shout out to you. How's everything going?
Oh, man, one day at a time. You know, it's a battle. But you know what? When you're armed with the right weapons, I just need to keep studying so I know how to go on offense. My defense is so scandalous. But I got to learn how to go on offense. You know what I mean? That's where I'm lacking at.
Right, right. Offense.
And it's good people to know your weaknesses. It's good people to know your weaknesses so you can work on them. Admit your weaknesses, people. There ain't nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's what I started doing, going on offense. You know, offense puts you in a good position because now they got to answer you.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm trying to learn right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Now, when
learning
you say
that
going
offense,
what are you trying to go after?
Oh, me, man. I'm trying to. These people still bothering me from a year ago, man.
Okay.
They still bother me.
Child support,
I don't
what is
them.
That?
Child support, they still bother me. And I need to get with you because you got a document I need. And I need to get with you on that because I'm going to need your help putting it together because my laptop blew up.
Okay.
And I don't mind paying, you know, the extra little bread. I'm doing good. My little renovate business is not doing so shabby, man, you know?
Yeah, I got you, bro. All right. Well, get with me and we'll talk about it some more. Oh, about that. You see, what is going on with child support, they have – I need to go after the federal Department of Health and Human Services. They are running everything.
See, and it's funny you said that because I'm actually beefing – with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services because you my brother and I see everything you do. You feel me? And it was nice to see you on the X Wallet, baby, in the chat. I seen you.
Yeah. Well, I sent you that thing. That little forum I'm working with, it's doing well. It's doing well.
You remember, but do you remember I told you about this, what, a year almost two ago?
Was that the same platform?
That was the same one. You know what I'm talking about, the X,
oh,
baby.
Okay,
remember I told you about the X?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you told me about X Wallet. But I sent you another one, another platform. It's like an investment platform. But we'll talk about it in private about that.
Yeah.
That one
because it's a phase two, man.
Well.
Right. It was some things I need to talk to you about, and I would like to see if you would like to be a part of that.
Okay. All right. That's cool. We'll talk about it.
It's real positive, too, Akeem. It's so positive, dude, and it can't fail. Oh, it can't fail. I've been working on this for a minute. Yeah.
Okay.
Man, and like I say, hold on. I got to put this out there because this was some positive shit. Don't nobody do no goddamn discharge. I can't put the goddamn video up on YouTube. Go look at it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I told you.
That's all I got to say about that.
See, what's happening is a lot of these dudes that I had no idea that's what's going on, they're getting out now. And they're speaking of their experiences. And some of them are just playing ashamed to even say anything.
Right,
chickens are coming home to roost. You know,
right, because I personally got one or two here in Michigan. Personally, I know who did that, and that they got in some trouble.
But so, unfortunately, there's certain individuals still purporting it like it works. It's all right. You're gonna be fine. You know, hey man, y'all been warned.
Hey.
All right, bro.
Exactly. All right, Akeem, pure all energy, man. God. Peace.
Appreciate it. I'll talk to you in the private. All right, peace. I'm going to take a short little break until my daughter called. Let me try the C14 number, see if maybe they came today. Because I don't want to get anybody else new. 314-282. Must not be ready. All right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a short break. I'll come back. We're going to talk about this Leon Schaefer Galnick Advertising Inc., DBA, the Galnick Company, appellate versus Jerry Cedar, appellee, District Court of Appeal, Florida 4th District. And we're going to see what that's talking about and how you can use it and get you some remedy in your cases. All right, I'll be right back.
Couple. put me on the right side. I'll be there for you.
I would rather stand here because I don't know what's going on. No, thank you. I would rather stay here. I sent an affidavit that I would be recording this meeting with the other paperwork that I sent you, which is a certified copy of the Ohio Constitution with my autograph, also constitutional challenge to child support, an injunction against the magistrate, default judgment against the prosecutor, the director of the clerk of courts, the Ohio Attorney General, and the judge assigned to this case. Also, I filed in the case a notice that the Cuyahoga County Clerk of Court has been terminated from the trusteeship of my property, my private property, Johnson John Darrell, doing business as John Darrell Johnson. The DBA is in the paperwork that I sent you, along with an affidavit of ownership and an authenticated copy of the birth certificate. I'm here on special appearance and propria persona. I'm here under threat, duress, and coercion because paperwork I received said that I would be arrested or I could be arrested if I didn't come here. So I'm afraid to have any contact with the police because they've been shooting men who look like me. Furthermore, regarding my constitutional challenge, I just want to say to you, ma'am, that my religious rights have been violated according to the Constitution of the United States. Is the Babylon the Great that the Bible speaks about. Title 42, Section 666 is the beast that the Bible speaks about in the book of Revelation. The Constitution, just let me please make this statement from the Constitution.
I'll read you shortly.
Okay, all men have the natural and indefeatable right to worship God Almighty according to the dictates of their own conscience. No person shall be compelled to attend, erect, or support any place of worship, such as this room here and this meeting. From my religious point of view, this is a religious meeting. I cannot be compelled to financially support a religious institution. The United States says that it is a Christian corporation or country. It says it's registered in Delaware as a religious corporation. No person shall be compelled to attend, erect, or support any place of worship, ma'am, or maintain any form of worship against his consent. I do not consent to this proceeding. I never consent, and I don't intend to consent, and I don't agree to the child support default order or anything else that may come out of this for religious reasons, or any form of worship against his consent, and no preference shall be given by law to any religious society. That includes the United States and all of its state ofs, which includes Ohio. So given that, and given that the Constitution in Ohio also says that slavery and involuntary servitude is banned in Ohio. Now, the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution also says that slavery has been abolished. 42 U.S.C. 1994 says that any act, law, statute, code, any government agency that's involved in the maintenance and enforcement of involuntary servitude, peonage, slavery, forced labor, forced support to pay a debt, to labor for a debt, to labor for a service, or any court or any order, which would include a child support order, is null and void. So I sent paperwork in here asking for the court to dismiss this case for lack of personal jurisdiction, lack of subject matter jurisdiction, failure to state a claim for which relief can be granted, and failure to respond to an affidavit. And the last point I want to make right now is that the ens legis is my personal private property, John Darrell Johnson. The Constitution says that private property shall be held inviolate, but subservient to the public welfare. When taken in time of war or other public exigency, imperatively requiring its immediate seizure or for the purpose of making or repairing roads, which shall be on open to the public without charge, a compensation shall be made to the owner in money. I've never been paid for taking my ens legis property. And in other cases where private property shall be taken for public use, a compensation shall first be made in money or first secured by a deposit of money, and such compensation shall be assessed by a jury. I never had a jury trial before my ens legis property was taken. Furthermore, Jillian and Christopher Johnson, my offspring, are given to me by God as my private personal property of my estate. Denise Johnson does not and never has had a right to collect child support on my estate property. Now, that's according to God's law, the Bible. And God's law, the Bible, is my constitution. So that Jillian and Christopher are my private personal property. Any paperwork that Denise Johnson signed granting the state of Ohio the right to collect child support from me is void because it's a fraud. Jillian and Christopher are my property according to estate law, according to the supreme law of the Bible, and according to the Constitution. So there's no possibility. According to the Bible, the wife is the private property of the husband. The offspring of a marriage, ma'am, are the private property of the husband. According to my constitution, the Bible, when a woman and a man divorce, his obligation is only to give her a certificate of divorce and send her on her way. The offspring are, according to my constitution, are supposed to stay in the father's house because they are his property, and specifically because the daughter receives a spiritual benefit as long as she is in her father's home. The father can intercede with God on her behalf if she enters into a contract that she later regrets. The father can intercede with God and end that contract. So I would like for you to dismiss this case for the said reason, ma'am.
Okay. I'm prosecutor.
All righty. I am back. I like that court case. And, you know, I've listened to that court case a lot of times. And I listened to it again tonight, and I heard some things connecting with some other things that I'm working on that, if you guys have been listening for a long time, because that's an old clip of one of the listeners going into court using the Bible as his defense. You know, he talks about the Constitution, too, but he used the Bible as his constitution. Y'all realize that they have ordained the Bible, the word of God. So if the Bible is the word of God, then that means it's the word of law that you can use in the courtrooms. And you could see how he did it, cut him off. I could have played more, you know, at the end of this, it was towards the end. They blew, you know, they didn't make a decision and they just moved on and said they're going to come to another day. But you could see how he said motion to dismiss, and he said lack of subject matter jurisdiction. He broke it down. Then he broke down he did his whole brief in support of why they should dismiss it verbally, line for line. He went through the Bible. He claimed how the position of the husband in the family, the position of the man, and what his rights are as the head of the household. You know, related to the courts. Y'all's remedy is in the Bible. You know, what about Jubilee, the 7-year forgiving of debts? Have y'all ever thought about throwing that in y'all paperwork? Huh? And then pulling out the scripture that says that? No, y'all haven't done that. Y'all too busy running around, chasing around these gurus who say do this and do that. I know some of them, I don't believe in the Bible. Listen, if I'm facing some serious problems, I'm going to use what I need to make it work for me to get out of that situation. I'm using the Bible all day. I like the Bible. I love the Bible. Because if you really pay attention to the Bible and read it, it has a lesson for everything you deal with. Unfortunately, you guys go sit up in the church and they only give you a couple of lessons, one or two spiritual lessons, but they don't give you the wholeness of what the Bible is really talking about. They don't. And one day, soon, I'm going to go through it with y'all privately and show you the wholeness and the fullness of the Bible. And I guarantee you it's going to look a lot different than your pastor sitting up there ranting and raving and yelling and screaming every week, talking like he really saying something. See, that stuff only sounds good to the people that's not up on this or not up in this knowledge, don't have the, you know. See, for myself and my level of understanding and overstanding of the Bible, listening to some of these preachers is like them scratching, putting their nails on the wall, scratching. It hurts my ears. So I can't listen to that mess because that's what it sounds like, because it's really, a lot of their teachings are enslaving people, thinking, not giving them their true power. See, it's not popular for me to teach people that it's your mind, it's your job to get what you need, to have prosperity. It's up to you. Not some God in the sky is going to come down and wave a wand and say, here it is. You got to work for it. That's what the story of the talents was all about. What you going to do with your talents? All right, so let's get into this case. And the title of the show is what? Attorney's Unsworn Testimony. Why am I reading this? Why am I talking about this tonight? Because you guys are forgetting very important points of court. Court needs jurisdiction. In order for it to have jurisdiction, you must give it to them. And you guys are handing over jurisdiction like it's free lunch. Why? Because you're in groups that teach you to, oh, let's argue about this and argue about that. This ain't right. They didn't lend me money. Oh, if you're in a criminal case, oh, let's argue about I'm the living man and all of this craziness y'all standing up there saying. Or y'all just say they don't have jurisdiction without backing it up and letting them know what jurisdiction really is. Listen, when they convict someone of a crime, they get them to sign. So why are you signing something? If they have so much jurisdiction, why do they need your signature? Think about it. If a signature is required, that means it's optional. Yes, they're going to make it look like they got the power to stick you in jail or whatever, but don't have your signature. They don't have the signature on it. You know? All right, let's go. Leon Schaefer Galnick, Advertising Inc., DBA, the Galnick Company, appellate. Now, one thing I want y'all to recognize, I put the link in the chat. how they got DBA here. They got D, lowercase d, / lowercase b, / a. That's how y'all need to be doing y'all DBA when y'all put DBA on the paper. So if you got documents that need to be updated, y'all need to go ahead and update it. Oh, yeah, when I do the seminar coming up next week, I'm going to show y'all how to redo y'all's, I just learned this today. Some of your notary signature pages are wrong. Y'all putting yourself into the jurisdiction of the United States by just your notary page. Oh, we're gonna fix that at the seminar. I'm not gonna do it tonight. At the seminar, you know, I'm gonna introduce you to the people that took the time to travel and come to see me first. How to take your notary page and make sure you're in the republic and not in the corporation. All right, I learned that today. I was watching a video. I mean, gosh, you know what? He is right for sure. Some things we just overlook. You know, we don't really pay attention to what we putting on these papers. Some things. So I gotta go. I looked at my time. Oh man, I gotta fix that. Okay, he made a very good point. So let me read this case. District Court of Appeal of Florida 4th District, and this is number 82-192, December 29th, 1982. So this is when this case took place. George H. Brodsky of F. Ronald Mastriana, PA, Fort Lauderdale for appellate. John A. Friedman of Cassioria, Golf and Friedman, PA, Fort Lauderdale for appellee. Glickstein, judge. This is an appeal from a final judgment which we reverse and remand. In doing so, we wish to comment upon the misunderstanding and misuse of the Florida Rules of Civil Procedure, the necessity for consideration of amendments thereto because of what we believe to be other than isolated misuse and a practice we would like to see terminated. As you can see, it's already starting off powerful. They say like to see terminated, a practice. Appellee, who formerly was employed by appellant, brought this action against it to collect commissions and to be reimbursed for expenses and compensated for vacation time. The employer's attorney filed only a notice of appearance within 21 days of service of process on his client. Appellee moved for default and hearing was set on the motion. A week prior to the hearing, an appellant's attorney filed an answer, affirmative defenses, and a motion to dismiss. Appellant's attorney did not appear at the hearing on the motion. And the trial court noted this non-appearance in default judgment, which it entered and refused to vacate. At the hearing on the motion to vacate, both attorneys made unsworn representations about the non-appearance of the appellate's attorney at the hearing on appellee's motion for default. Final judgment was entered and rehearing denied. First, the misunderstanding was that of the trial court as the effect of Florida Rule Civil Procedure 1.500B and C. So let's look at that rule and see what it's. Well, it's in here. One, when appellate filed its answer, affirmative defenses, and motion to dismiss days prior to the hearing on the motion for default, it deprived the trial court of the authority to consider whether a default should be entered or to enter one. The hearing on the motion was superfluous, and the attorney's non-appearance was legally justified, albeit rude if he was noticed and failed to contact the court. But first, let's read this Florida rule so y'all can understand what's going on. Florida Rule of Civil Procedure 1.500B. Let's go here. It says, by the clerk, when a party against whom affirmative relief is sought has failed to file or serve any paper in the action, the party seeking relief may have the clerk enter a default against the party failing to serve or file such paper by the court. So there's the rule. It says, I'm going to read it again. By the clerk, when a party against whom affirmative relief is sought has failed to file or serve any paper in the action, the party seeking relief may have the clerk enter a default. They said they can have the clerk do it, enter a default against the party failing to serve or file such paper by the court. So what it's saying is you file some paperwork and file an action against someone and they don't answer, you can go to the clerk and have them enter a default judgment. So in Florida, it's saying you don't even have to get the judge's permission. You just go to the clerk. You see? Then in D, it says set aside default. The court may set aside default, and if a final judgment consequent thereon has been entered, the court may set aside in accordance with Rule 1.540B. We got to read that. I'm not going to go through all of that. I'm going to do that in my private time. You know, y'all could go ahead and read that. And I think I know what that says, but for the sake of time, let me keep moving. All right. Second, the misuse was that of appellate's attorney by filing a notice of appearance admittedly because he knew the clerk could not enter a default with the notice in the court file, and doing so for the purpose of getting additional time in which to plead. We believe this practice is used often by others, and we condemn it. Third, the amendment we urge is with respect to Florida Rule of Civil Procedure 1.500A, B, and C, wherein the word paper is being used by attorneys as their justification for filing notice of appearance, nothing more, to gain time for the filing of pleadings. We urge the elimination of such word and its substitution of words, motions, or response of pleading. So what this is saying is when the attorney filed the notice of appearance, but he didn't answer the complaint, and the default judgment could not be entered because he came in and said he was a parent. I hope y'all get the hint. That's why I told you guys file notice of appearances before you do anything into your cases. Of course, you're going to notice and appear that you're not coming in as the straw man. I told on this over a year ago, right? Fourth, the practice we wish to see terminated is that of attorneys making unsworn statements of fact at hearings, which trial courts may consider as establishing facts. It is essential that attorneys conduct themselves as officers of the court, but their unsworn statements do not establish facts in absence of stipulation. Trial judges cannot rely upon these unsworn statements as the basis for making factual determinations, and this court cannot so consider them on review of the record. If the advocate wishes to establish a fact, he must provide sworn testimony through witnesses other than himself or a stipulation in which his opponent agrees. So what is it saying at the end here? It says this, that attorneys cannot testify, and their unsworn statements cannot be considered facts. And in almost every foreclosure case, there is no one given any sworn testimony. 99.9%. And this says that they can't even render a judgment. And here, this court is telling them. I'm going to read it again. Let me read it so I can point out what I'm talking about. Fourth, the practice we wish to see terminated is that of attorneys making unsworn statements of fact at hearings, which trial courts may consider as establishing facts. It is essential that attorneys conduct themselves as officers of the court, but their unsworn statements do not establish facts in the absence of stipulation. Trial judges cannot rely upon these unsworn statements. It's telling them. The higher court is saying trial judges cannot rely upon these unsworn statements. So you put that in your paperwork, you just took a baseball bat to their whole case. Just that statement right there. Trial judges cannot rely upon these unsworn statements as the basis for making factual determinations. Right there, that one sentence. Of course, you want to use the whole case. But that one sentence, you tell that judge, Listen, you cannot rely upon his unsworn statements as the basis of making factual determinations. You can't. So if you've been, say, let's just say you got a judgment against you. So if you were reading and paid attention carefully, you got to go to that court first and try to get them to void the judgment on these grounds. Don't just run to the higher court first. Run to them. And then when they don't void the judgment, then you go to the higher court. Why you got to do it that way? Because a lot of people, you're out of time. You didn't do your appeal. You passed the 30 days. So how do you get back where you can do an appeal? So you got to go, say, void judgment. When they deny you, you can do an appeal on the void judgment. Now that the whole issue goes back to the court. Now, they got to look at, well, he's saying void judgment because the court relied on these unsworn statements as facts. And that's all they're going to look at. It is so hard to get people to understand and follow these simple procedures because they're so programmed to hear all of this stuff about the note and how they didn't lend me money and all these other things. All of that may be true. But when you start talking about how they didn't lend you money, guess what you just did? You just gave that court jurisdiction and you gave the transaction validity. Let me give you a perfect example. If you've ever seen a foreclosure action, they always start out telling you how the mortgage was created, how the note was created. On this such and such a date, entered into a contract with this bank on this, and then the bank, then it got assigned to this person, then assigned, they give you the history. Why? They're establishing a pattern of behavior. They're establishing court jurisdiction. So if you understand that and you know that, you see that they're doing it, why would you agree with that? You're trying to say, nah, y'all didn't do nothing. Basically, you're giving evidence against yourself when you start talking about, well, they securitized the note. You just gave evidence against yourself. You're letting them know, well, you did sign this paperwork, didn't you? See, on one hand, you're asking them to give you wedding signature copies, but then on the other hand, you're validating their copy. You're double-minded. This is why when I tell people, stay in one place. That is an attorney standing over there talking, giving unsworn statements. And none of that can be considered, according to this case, cannot be relied upon as fact. So why are you going to talk about, why is there a need to talk about anything else? Because in this appellate decision, this court decision, they specifically said, that's all we're going to talk about. They didn't care about all the other facts of the case. They said, this is all we want to hear. Did the facts that determined the case, that caused whoever to lose or win, was these statements under oath? Was they coming from witnesses with firsthand knowledge? Then the higher court is saying that. And this court cannot so consider them on review of the record. See? They say they won't even look at the attorney's words when they review the records. If the advocate wishes to establish a fact, he must provide sworn testimony to witnesses other than himself or a stipulation to which his opponent agrees. When they say stipulation to which his opponent agrees, they got to come to you and say, will you allow me to put this on the record? And call it a fact. That's why attorneys send y'all a list of questions to answer. Because that's the stipulation. He's trying to get a stipulation so he can have stipulated facts before the court that you agree to. And of course, you send back no contract. You see? Where's my old locked up? Hang on. I'm going to close out my page back. Yeah. So let me finish reading this real quick, and then I'll go back. Oh, I may not have to go back to the phone line. All right, notes. It's notes. Subsection B and C of Florida Rule of Civil Procedure 1.500, which deals with defaults and final judgments thereon, provide B, by the court, when a party against whom affirmative relief of sought has failed to plead or otherwise defend as provided by these rules or any applicable statute or any order of the court may enter a default against such party, provided that if such party has filed or served any paper in the action, he shall be served with notice of application for default. Basically, that's saying if the other party doesn't answer, you apply to the court for default, but you also got to let the other side know that you are making an application for default. C, right to plead. A party may plead or otherwise defend at any time before default is entered. So even if they go for the default, you can still enter your defense at any time before the default is entered. If a party in default attempts to file any paper after a default is entered except under subdivision D, the clerk shall return the paper to the party and notify him of the entry of default. The clerk shall make an entry on the progress docket of the action taken. So subdivision D, what is that? We need to go to Florida rules other than, so you got to read all of these rules. So let's go to Florida rules 500. We need to find D. Setting aside a default. The court may set aside a default, and if a final judgment consequent thereon has been entered, the court may set it aside in accordance with rule 1.540B. Now we got to find that. They just bounce you around. That's why reading rules is important. See, I don't listen to people. I read the rules. Okay? A lot of people, oh, this is what you do, but then, okay, show me in the rules that I can do that. Help me with that. Florida Rules of Civil Procedure requires that a final judgment may be set aside for mistakes, inadvertent, excusable neglect, newly discovered evidence, fraud, etc. So what it's saying, they can set aside a final judgment on the grounds of a mistake, inadvertence, excusable neglect, newly discovered evidence, fraud, etc. So you got a final judgment against you, right? You could say, well, you want to set aside for one of these reasons. So let's look up inadvertence. What does that mean? So that means you have to put that in your paper. Oh, set, I need to set aside this judgment due to inadvertence or whatever label they got there, or any one of the others. The fact or action being inadvertent, a result of inattention, oversight. So you could say, I overlooked it, and it could set it aside. Okay, what's the other one? That's why you got to read it all. Don't read just a little bit. See, I see where they take me. That's why it takes time to study. Like, I could be reading one thing, and have to read 20 other documents to get the full meaning. Most people are not doing that. So let's see, excusable neglect. That's broad in general. Excusable neglect refers to a legitimate excuse for the failure to take some proper step at the proper time. For example, this is a claim to set aside a default judgment for failure to answer or neglecting to answer a lawsuit within a period set by law. So they're giving you reasons why. What's an excusable neglect? Well, you're not a lawyer. I don't know. I don't know all the rules. I don't know where to look. I tried, and I couldn't find it. You can just tell the court, be truthful, right? Okay, we got, what's the next one? 1.50, newly discovered evidence. That's self-explanatory. So you find some new evidence. Fraud. You find fraud in the other part. Then it says, et cetera. So then you can use other rules. But if I was doing a motion to set aside, and I would use these words here, due to excusable neglect, and here's my excusable neglect, they can do it. Not say they will grant it, but you can file motions. for that, to give you an out. All right? There y'all have it. Stop letting these attorneys give unsworn testimony. I think that case right there is way better than Trinity versus Pagliaro, and here's why. Number one, they have gotten UCR running the court using that one, and they're just throwing them out. Okay? But this case specifically says trial judges cannot rely upon these unsworn statements as the basis for making factual determinations, and the court cannot so consider them on review of the record. You see? So, what are y'all going to do now that y'all been taught? This is serious remedy right here. Well, what you need to do, go read, go look at this rule. In fact, if you're in Florida, read it. Read the whole rule thoroughly. Come up with some paperwork and put it in. Also, if you're in another state, find this is not the only case law that's come up this way. Go find it, read it, and use it. And I would couple that with the right to due process out of the Constitution. All right? All right, with that being said, I told you I was only going to take one or two calls. I did that. I tried to take another one. I had a few more people with their hands up, but they, since I have unchecked the one button, they're gone. So I'm going to be gone, too. And I will see y'all on Tuesday. Peace.
You're ready to wake up, you're going to wake up. And if you're not ready, you're going to stay pretending that you're just a little, poor little me. And since you're all here and engaged in this sort of inquiry and listening to this sort of lecture, I assume that you're all on the process of waking up. Or else, you're teasing yourselves with some kind of flirtation with waking up, which you're not serious about. But I assume maybe you are, not serious but sincere, that you are ready to wake up. So then, when you're in the way of waking up and finding out who you really are, what you do is what the whole universe is doing at the place you call here and now. You are something the whole universe is doing in the same way that a wave is something that the whole ocean is doing. The real you is not a puppet which life pushes around. The real deep down you is the whole universe. So then, when you die, you're not going to have to put up with everlasting non-existence, because that's not an experience. A lot of people are afraid that when they die, they're going to be locked up in a dark room forever and sort of undergo that. But one of the most interesting things in the world, this is a yoga, this is a way of realization. Try and imagine what it will be like to go to sleep and never wake up. Think about that. Children think about it. It's one of the great wonders of life. What will it be like to go to sleep and never wake up? And if you think long enough about that, something will happen to you. You will find out, among other things, that it will pose the next question to you. What was it like to wake up after having never gone to sleep? That was when you were born. You see, you can't have an experience of nothing. Nature abhors a vacuum. So after you're dead, the only thing that can happen is the same experience, or the same sort of experience, as when you were born. In other words, we all know very well that after people die, other people are born. And they're all you. Only you can only experience it one at a time. Everybody is I. You all know you're you. And wheresoever beings exist throughout all galaxies, it doesn't make any difference. You are all of them.
And when they come into being, that's you coming into being. You know that very well. Only you don't have to remember the past in the same way you don't have to think about how you work your thyroid gland or whatever else it is in your organism. You don't have to know how to shine the sun. You just do it. Like you breathe. Isn't it? Doesn't it really astonish you that you are this fantastically complex thing? And that you're doing all of this and you never had any education in how to do it?